The story is told about a missionary who was serving this little community, but he got an urgent call late one night, around midnight, to go to this other community about 6 hours away. And it was a cold, dark, windy, rainy night. And he was filled with apprehension about an all-night drive, and he was already pretty tired. So he prayed to God, you know, to keep him awake and get him to his destination safely. And he starts out on the road. Well, about an hour into the trip, he sees this hitchhiker on the shoulder of the road. Now, normally he wouldn't pull over for a hitchhiker in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere, but he felt kind of sorry for the guy in the pouring rain. And he himself needed a little company anyway to keep him awake. So he pulled over and he picked up the hitchhiker. And he was very pleased to find out that the hitchhiker was a fellow believer. And they talked and talked and shared stories. And the miles flew by, and so did the time. And before they knew it, they were entering the town. And the skies were clearing, and the sun was rising in the east. And they had made it. And when they're entering the town, the hitchhiker said, Yeah, this is where I jump off. Thanks for the ride. But the missionary said, tell you what, let's pull into this diner and I'll buy you a cup of coffee. So they sat in a booth for about 15 minutes. And as they were going their separate ways, they promised to pray for each other and to keep in touch. So the missionary gets in his car and he drives for about a block. But then he realizes, oh, I never got his contact information. So he turns around, goes back to the diner, and runs into the diner. But the hitchhiker is gone. There's nobody around. So he asks the waitress, hey, where's that guy I was with just a minute ago? Did he leave already? And the waitress said, what guy? You were by yourself. And in fact, I thought it was kind of odd that you would order 2 cups of coffee. And sure enough, the missionary went to the booth, and there were 2 cups of coffee, one that was empty and one that was full. Kind of eerie, huh? But so what's your theory about this hitchhiker? Are you thinking that maybe he was an angel? Do angels exist on this earth anymore? And if so, is this how they operate? You know, street clothes, undercover, hiding in plain sight. I don't know about you, but I must admit, I really don't think about angels that much in my life. Maybe I should. But it's clear that they exist. We see a few stories in the Bible of angels in action, like those that helped Lot escape Sodom. The angel that appeared to Mary, and then Joseph. The angels that filled the sky to the shepherds announcing the birth of Christ. And then there were a couple angels present at the empty tomb when Jesus rose from the dead. So clearly, angels existed at least back then. But the question is, do they still exist now? And if so, what is their role? The Bible has answers to some of these questions. The writer to the Hebrews describes angels as ministering spirits sent to minister to those who will inherit salvation. And in the Old Testament, the psalmist writes, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Martin Luther weighed in on this topic too, and he suggested that the most prominent role for angels was to guard little children. In fact, and these are strong words by Luther, he says, and I quote, if it were not for the protection of the dear angels, no child would grow to full age. If Luther is correct, then angels are protecting new students still today. But what about this question about angels being in, you know, in plain sight, in street clothes? Have you ever seen an angel? Well, maybe you have. You know, I have always found this one passage in the Bible to be quite intriguing, and maybe you have too. It's Hebrews 13:2. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Then there's this topic of good angels versus evil angels. Luther talks about how the good angels protect us from the evil angels. He talks about children needing to be protected against, I suppose, what we would today call the boogeyman. Do you remember when you were little? How you would ask mom and dad to check under the bed or in the closet to make sure the boogeyman wasn't there so that you could have a peaceful night of sleep? Maybe you still do that from time to time. Then Martin Luther brings government into it. It's kind of interesting what he says about government. He says that when people become immoral and the government grows corrupt, God finally withdraws the good angels and allows the evil angels to have their way. Is this why empires through the centuries have crumbled to dust? The good angels have been pulled away? Is this what's happening in Washington, D.C.? I hope not. I want you to imagine something for just a minute. Imagine you're getting in your car and you leave your house and you drive down the street for 1 minute and then you go, oh, I left my cell phone at home. So you turn around, you go back and get your cell phone and you get back in the car. But now you're 2 minutes behind where you otherwise would have been. And sure enough, you get to the big intersection in town and there's this major multi-car pileup and a lot of people are hurt. And it dawns on you, whoa, this could have been me. It should have been me. But I had forgotten my phone. And perhaps you connect this with somehow God and his angels protecting you from that wreck. But I want to ask you a question. How many times are we not even aware of when we're being protected? And so therefore we don't make a connection with angels. I mean, for instance, we go cruising down the freeway at 70 miles per hour and we're surrounded by three or four other cars at times in a cluster going 70 miles an hour, and any little thing could go wrong and you would instantly be in harm's way and nothing you could do about it. And yet, we just keep cruising down the highway, not even aware of what we're being protected from. To explain the unexplainable, the world uses words like destiny and luck, chance, coincidence, and their favorite word, fate. But these words don't even come close to explaining how God operates. No, but words like love, compassion, propitiation, faithfulness, these are words that accurately describe how God operates. And this word angel explains a lot about how God keeps us in his loving, protective care. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. We conclude today with the last two stanzas of hymn 256. That's stanzas 3 and 4 of 256.